following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios, Incorporated.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland. It is hot this time of year. It's in the afternoon right now when I've recorded this, and my wife and I have just taken a leisurely stroll through the neighborhood, and so far I've been able to handle the heat pretty well this summer. And today, it just, if you're not in the Memphis area, and judging from what I'm saying, a lot of you are not, there's this thing about the heat here. It's hard to describe, for one. It's oppressive, I guess is a good word to use. It can do things to you that other weather conditions not so much. And it's not that it's, I don't mind the warm temperatures. It could be 90 degrees. But when it's 70% humidity and, you can really cut the air with a knife, it's hard to breathe. It's just kind of, oh, God. And you can get kind of dizzy from being in the heat too long. And, we just went on in essence, just a simple little 2-mile walk. And I, like a dumbass, I didn't take any water with me. So I came in and I've since cooled off a moment. I have the air conditioner cranked and I'm sitting here enjoying a nice chilled bottle of water, of which I have already consumed a liter of. And, you have to drink your water. It really, if you ever come to Memphis in the summertime, I'm telling you, just be prepared for that. The second you step off of an airplane, it's like, oh, damn, what the hell is this? It's bad. It's or it's good. It depends. It depends on your point of view. I personally prefer the summer more than I do the winter. The winter is just, I don't know, it's cold and wet and it's painful. It makes my bones ache and I just don't feel like I want to be outside that much. I'm more comfortable just being inside and away from all of it and just kind of let it happen around me, especially if there's like any type of winter precipitation. Because here in the wintertime, we do get a little bit of snow. It's not a whole heck of a lot, thankfully, but it's enough for everybody to freak out over. And that's just the beauty of it, is that every year, most people freak out when there's snow coming. And it's like a light dusting. And it's like, oh, my God, the end times have come. We must go to the grocery store. And it's so funny. They sell out of milk and bread as though it's the end of time. Because you're going to be making French toast, I suppose, or milk sandwiches, as some of the folks around here go. And there have been times when I've actually been caught before before a snowstorm. I say snowstorm with all jest, of course. Those of you that live up in the northern reaches of this country laugh hysterically at the fact that it's an eighth of an inch of snow and people freak out here. What's amusing about it is that I've been caught before that, and I was like, I need to go to the store because there's a couple of things I need to get. Not because it's snowing, it's just that I'm out of stuff that I'm going to need, and namely beer or liquor. And I've been caught, and I try not to do this, but when these situations arrive and you're in them, the people that are in the stores are in this harried mode of operation. They're in freak out mode. They go nuts. They're whipping through the stores. They're pushing each other aside. They're fighting over a can of beans. It's like they're expecting some natural cataclysmic event to occur, and really nothing comes of it. And we'll close the streets at the drop of a hat. You could spill a cocktail out there and go, "Oop, ice on the road," and then they'll shut it all down. So we have a funny way of dealing with it. But here, what's odd is that this time of year, where it's it feels like it's 3,000 degrees. I mean, you could melt steel outside. And nobody really, nobody panics about it. The National Weather Service will issue heat advisories. They'll tell you, look, it's dangerous to be outside, which it is. If you're sensitive to these types of things, you have to be careful. They urge you to drink a lot of water, get to a cool place if you can. If you don't have air conditioning, which why you would live in that condition, I don't know, but it does happen. And they urge you, go find some place to go and get out of the heat because, people die in it. But nobody really freaks out about it. I guess it's just understood that this is just the way it is in the Mid-South. And, it takes a while to acclimate to it. I've been here for nearly 20 years now, and I have just now gotten to the point where I look forward to it. I know it sounds sort of masochistic, but because I know I understand it. I understand where it's coming from. I understand the heat. I understand how to take care of it, and I know what I can do, and I know my limits in it. In the wintertime, I just don't want to get out in it at all. And it's not even that cold here in the winter. I mean, it gets, you know, occasionally you get wind chills down into the teens. Very rarely it'll get into the single digits, but it's enough to, you know, make you think twice about wanting to do anything outside. And, you know, but it everybody's focus is like, oh, my God, I hate this. I hate that. You know, it's the wintertime. I hate this. I hate and hate and hate and hate and hate. Oh, my God. People go crazy over that. And that's kind of what led me into what I wanted to get into this in this episode was hate in general, because I found, I don't know, maybe that I'm getting older, perhaps wiser. Hate is such a, I don't know, it's such a strong word. I don't know that it accurately reflects the way a lot of people think about certain things. Yes, we hate things. We hate people. We hate foods. We hate weather. We hate cars. Some of us hate people a lot. But I do believe, I guess, that hate is really almost too strong of a word. I'm human like anybody else, and there's certain things that I absolutely hate, that I loathe, that I cannot even bear myself to deal with. And one of those things, of course, would be, you know, like a good safe thing to hate would be like cancer. Everybody hates. I don't know if anybody that is really kind of fond of it. It really doesn't serve any purpose aside from thinning the herd. It's a hateful thing. And I think we're all safe in saying that we can hate cancer. I've seen it happen. I've lost friends to it. I've known people who have fought it successfully, and they've used their hate to win that battle. And that's a good thing. That's a tremendous thing. And I think, you know, for the most part, that's how most people will think. They are okay with hating something like that because it's universal. But what tends to happen, and I've seen this a lot here lately too, is that when you combine certain elements of political factions and certain religious ends together at the same time, hate tends to come out in that sort of thing. You know, we see it a lot. Just recently, of course, was that horrible shooting in at the Knoxville, Tennessee Naval Recruitment Center. Which, for the life of me, why the military is not armed is beyond me. You know, I think if anybody should be packing heat, it should be members of the military. I think just in principle, that's what they do. They carry guns. That's their job. It's not too far of a reach to think that some guy, whether you're in the Navy, the Air Force, Army, Marines, Coast Guard, whoever you are, hell, arm the Boy Scouts, for God's sake. Give them guns so when they're working, because they're in the military, no one with an idea that's, oh, you know, I hate the military, so I'm going to kill you. Which is kind of what this was. And it was just such, five people died out of this thing, and it was just brutal. It was sad. It's upsetting when that sort of thing happens. And immediately, I mean, immediately people just jumped onto this whole, it was an act of terrorism. Well, of course it was. It was an act of terrorism. I mean, if I carried a gun into a bank with the intention of robbing the joint, and I use that gun to get my point across, I am inflicting terror onto people. Aren't I? Isn't that sort of the point behind terrorism is disrupting the system? It's upsetting people. It's making them freak out. That's terror. So to call it a terroristic crime, I think is, you know, but our definitions of these sorts of things get kind of thrown into the wash because anything could be based in terror. It really can. And when you fight that fight and when you're going through those avenues and you look at how people respond to these things, you know, it's like, well, that is a terroristic act. So in essence, what they're saying is that form of terror is government related, aside from the fact that it was somebody, a crazed lone gunman that went into a Navy recruitment center where a bunch of Marines got killed is, yeah, that's terror. And it was somebody who was really upset. And of course, immediately people were, you know, quick to jump on the whole, well, the guy was, he was quoting the Quran and he was a Muslim, and therefore we must get rid of Muslims. And I have seen where some people had gone so far as to persecute the entire religion, the entire Muslim faith. And I don't think that's fair. And to say that, oh, I hate Muslims is really kind of pointless. I mean, you have to understand, and I think a lot of people failed to understand or to wrap their heads around the fact that the fundamental Islamic groups that are causing the terror that we see across the world, and indeed here in our own country, these are people that are not like the other Muslims. There's a lot. I know Muslims. I know people who practice the faith, and they hate that. There I go with that strong word, but they I think they have that right to hate that, because that's just it's not indicative of who they are. It really isn't.
Well, you know, they like to say that Islam is the mission. You know, it's the religion of peace, but it's not.
Of course, it is. You know, it's as if you had taken the Westboro Baptist Church and given them guns. How do you think the other Baptists would feel about it? They don't even recognize the Westboro Baptist Church as it is, which, by the way, they've been kind of quiet here of late. But nevertheless, they're probably arming themselves now. Because, see here, there's a prime example to kind of put it into somewhat of a focus that maybe we all can understand, is that when you look at what the Westboro Baptist Church had done, especially over the past couple of years, or several years, was they had that whole God hates this, God hates that. I don't recall in the Bible, which is the book that they use, and I've read it a few times, I don't recall anything in there about God hating certain individuals. You know, hate the sin, love the sinner, right? Isn't that kind of how that goes? But to sit, and it's laughable. It really is laughable, perhaps in a sick, twisted way, but it is. It's laughable. When somebody sits there and goes, God hates fags. Well, I don't know that's an accurate statement. I think you're reaching just a little bit. I think it's a bit much to assume that. You know, pardon me for saying that, but I thought that the book that I read was more about God is about love, about loving everybody. Love your enemies. That was sort of the point, you know. You should be accepting of it as best as you can. I know it's tough, man. It's tough to be accepting of people that go into facilities where people are and fire guns at them just because they hate them for whatever reason. And I don't think that's the point. The point of the matter is that I'm not saying that we have to accept it. No, you should do what you can to stop it, of course. But to, you know, take your religion or your political bent and tie them together, that's a recipe for disaster. We've seen it time and time again. I mean, look, as a society of human beings, we've been knocking around the enlightenment, if you will, for about the past 2,000 years. Let's go from that. That's about the time of, in Christian terms, that's about what we're looking at here. And during that time, I mean, people went generally from a polytheistic point of view, which is the worshiping of many gods. And I know there's still some that do that, and that's their religion. That's the way it goes. I respect that. That's their business. To being primarily a monotheistic, which is one god, and the trappings that go with it. Of course, yes, I know I'm generalizing a lot of this, but just to make the point that somewhere along the way, the message about a higher power being about love got lost, because now we lost our ability to wage war. Because, and we've talked about this before, war in general is fought over two ideals. One is money, which comes with power and domination. And the other is religion. And most war, down to those two ideals, is being fought over religion. We see it all the time. This ISIS group, they're so bad, it's comical. Oh, Rick, you can't say that. That's, oh my God, people are getting their heads cut off. Well, sure I can say that. Absolutely I can, because these people are so misguided and so far off the beaten path that it has created a disruption of the way people think about certain things. Don't you think? I mean, look what it breeds. It breeds this contempt. It breeds this hate. And it's this whole concept of, well, I hate this and I hate you for hating that. And it just becomes a never ending vicious cycle. And I'm not saying that you should dislike it. I don't know if hate's the right word. I think that sometimes you can approach some of these matters in a little bit more of a concerted effort to be somewhat understanding. I'm not saying accept it for what it is. And I know right now there's some people just cringing hearing me say this. But them provoking a response of hatred to match their own is precisely what they want. And that's the problem. It's terrifying, really. If we're going to be hating stuff, I personally think we should go back to hating things that are really sort of pointless to hate, you know. Hate a tomato. Hate ketchup. If you want to hate something, hate ketchup. Kate, who I work with over at Radio Memphis, we do the morning show together over there. It's time for the plug. Radio-Memphis.com, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Kate Lucas and I do Radio Memphis in the morning. She has a hatred of ketchup. Actually, it's more of a fear of ketchup. It's a long story. I need to get her on the show so she can explain it. But the point being is that it's harmless to hate ketchup, except for the ketchup lobby. They're probably a bit annoyed that they don't have a customer. But there again, what do they care? They're out just selling ketchup. Am I making a comparison between terroristic groups and ketchup? No, not at all. But the idea here is to maybe think about it a little bit. You know, maybe we should go ahead and arm the Westboro Baptist Church, steer them gently in a direction of hating another fundamental religious group, and then set those two off someplace together, because they're both small enough organizations, ISIS and the Westboro Baptist Church, and let's see how all that pans out. I just, you know, let's just go and y'all go somewhere, go out in the middle of the desert and go figure this out. Just see where it goes, because, you know, look, we as people, we really do have a lot in common with everybody. You have something in common with a lot of people. Whether they agree with you or not, or whether you agree with them or not, you do have a lot of common ground. And that's the whole, you know, that's really kind of the bottom line here, too, is that you want to find that common ground. That's how an open dialogue happens. That's how creativity can really happen, is by, you know, bridging those gaps. Oh, you peace-loving hippie. Hey, what's wrong with liking a little peace, huh? What's wrong with that? You know, every war we've gotten into, especially here of late, has been sort of pointless. It really has. And the more I see about the political bent that is happening out there, and, you know, we should do this because we should elect this person because if they get in, they've already said they wanted to start a war. Why? Why? We got enough problems. We've got enough problems at home, for God's sake. We got to rename football teams. Everybody's worked up about that. We got to give our military at recruitment centers and on bases the ability to wear a sidearm. It's their job. Boy, I know this took a kind of a dark turn, but I just needed to kind of feel like I could get this off my chest. And you people are my therapist, and we've discussed that as well. And I'm tired of worrying about shit like that. You know, why should we have to live in any type of fear? I hate doing that. See, there I go again. I hate that. And which is true. I don't like living in fear. So I refuse to do it. I don't like somebody telling me that I have to look out for this, that, or the other because that's something that I have to be afraid of. You don't have to tell me what I'm afraid of. I'll tell you what I'm afraid of if you really want to know. So, you know, when 9/11 happened, and it was such a very strange and eerie time. You know, we seem to be doing fairly well as a country. People seem pretty happy about things. There was very little hate going on. And that unfortunate event in New York and in Washington and in Pennsylvania, all of that. And, of course, that launched that horrible war, of which we still seem to be fighting. I mean, it did do some good things, I guess, for this country by bringing us together to a certain extent. But at the same time, it also it created this fear that we can't go out in public spaces and we can't get on airplanes anymore because we're gonna look. The second that the air ban was lifted, I thought immediately, I'm fine getting on a plane. I don't think that the terrorists, whoever they may be,
those evildoers,
they're not gonna go that route again. They're not gonna pick up an airplane somewhere and gonna crash it into a building. That's an old trick. They've done it. If you look at what ISIS has done, they don't really repeat their same mode. You know, yeah, they cut some heads off and that's about it. But after like two or three of them, they're kind of done. They're doing other things like wrapping their heads in deck cord and setting them off. I mean, they're trying different things to be more shocking and trying to outdo themselves. And nobody's paying attention. That's just it. You know, we have this group of people here that go, oh, we should absolutely be concerned about it. Well, yeah, be concerned. Yeah, be aware that it's going on. Do you have to worry that you're going to go, I don't know, to the dry cleaners and all of a sudden there's going to be a group of terrorists dressed in black going to drag you out of the, you know, from the bushes and go take you someplace and hold you ransom and then cut your head off? Probably not going to happen. You know, we've talked about that too. It's just, but there is that whole point of, you know, let's not keep the fear from ruining everything. Yeah, there's enough to be scared of out there with other people. Sure, I get it. You know, I live in one of the most dangerous cities on, you know, in the United States. I know the city of Memphis probably hates me for saying that, but it's sort of the truth. I mean, there's a shooting every 5 seconds in this town. You know, we play that game. Is it fireworks or gunfire? Usually you play it around the 4th of July and New Year's, but you could play that game any night of the week. And then when you look at the news, the local news, they're not talking about that. They're not, unless somebody, you know, I hear gunfire every fucking night. I hear gunfire. And nobody gives a shit. I know cops that I'll be out in the street talking to them. Hey, Rick, how's it going? Hey, man, how's it going? It's good to see you. How's it going? You know, got the windows down, you know, he's sitting in his car and you can hear it a few blocks away. Bang, 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 bang. I mean, wow, somebody, well, what do you think that was? Well, I think it was a 9mm. I don't know. That may have been a 40 cal. I don't know. Aren't you going to go check it out? Eh. My backup is getting donuts. I mean, that's the world we live in. It's going to happen. Eh, you accept it. It's silly. That's just it. During that whole Gulf War thing, did you notice that one of the first things that Obama did as president, through the help of Hillary Clinton, who's now running for president, who will probably win it. She was the Secretary of the State at the time and worked out an arrangement through this really interesting, intricate pattern to go after Osama bin Laden. And they got him. It was one of the first things they did when they got into office. They went after him. And it brought to mind the quick thought was, well, how is it that all of a sudden we just knew where he was? He'd been there for years. He'd been in that spot for 10 years. My thought had been that we'd always known where he was, but we didn't go do it because if you kill the golden goose, then all of a sudden that whole point of fear kind of goes away because now you got the bad guy. You don't have to worry. But if you keep the fear alive, then is you need me to protect you from this. I know it sounds like a conspiracy theory when you put it that way. Could be. I don't know. I just know they got the guy. Am I safe in my home here in Memphis? I'm about as safe as anywhere else, I suppose. No one's shooting at me. They're firing guns, but they're not shooting at me. You know, you take your life in your hands every time you step out and take a drive out on the road. Hell, step into a tub. You're taking your life in there. More people die in their bathtub than they do out on the roadways, it seems like. It's a thought. Hell, you could choke on a piece of pork later. Well, that'd be a way to go. Boy, he always hated terrorism, and he always picked a fight with those terrorists. But my God, did you see how Charlie went down? Oh, he choked on a pork chop. Oh, how awful. It happens. it's you know, I try and find some lightness, some levity to all of this because it's important. It's what I do as an entertainer. It's what I do in this business. It's not that I'm distracting you from that. I want you to be aware that there's some heavy shit going on because, yeah, there is. It's, you know, Look at the state of the country that we're in right now. You know, you got you got political people who think that you should be working more than what you already are. Thanks, I appreciate that. I'm glad I can help you out. And then there's others that are out there going, well, maybe we should offer more assistance to you. I don't know if that's a good idea either. These are just my points of view, obviously. But you look around and there's no middle class. There really isn't. You're lucky if you're in that environment. If you work for a major corporation right now, if you're just some cog in the machine, you're only as good as your last paycheck. You do realize that, right? I mean, your guarantee, it doesn't really exist. It's been said, and I may have said this before, but there's that whole theory about the way the classes work, because right now in this country, we are in a class type warfare of some sort. You've got so many people that are just so worked up, and by God, the whole Confederate flag business, I mean, please, it's we're worried about shit like that, as opposed to the idea of why the three classes exist. You have the lower class, the middle class, and the upper class. All right. It's been that way since the dawn of time. There's the haves, the have-nots, and the ones that are kind of caught in the middle. And you know, it works this way, that the upper class exists because it gives the middle class something to work toward. And the lower class exists to scare the shit out of the middle class. That's kind of how that was supposed to be. I don't know if it's smart, but that's kind of the way it worked. I think it was George Carlin that actually came up with that. I love George. I think he was awesome. And he would think about shit like that. It made you think and made me think. And if I can put it to you in those types of terms and you enjoy that, that's great. But like I said, I'm not here to distract you from any of that. I'm trying to offer you something that, because I know you can go someplace else. As soon as this show is over, you can go and read about some horrible event that's taking place in the Middle East, or if it happens in another city or state or in your own hometown or whatever the case may be. I mean, there's enough depressing shit going on in this world that I think it's a good idea every once in a while to pull yourself away from it. You know, turn off the TV. There's not much there anyway. Turn off your radio. Turn off this. Escape it for a moment. Go read or listen to this. And think a little bit that really it would I think we would be better if we put down the hate a little bit and look after our fellow man. I've said that before too, and I think it bears repeating. We don't have to shove our political and religious ideals down other people's throats. It's none of our business what other people think or believe. It really isn't. It's the fact that they exist should be our only concern and our only compassion. That's kind of where that goes. You know, there was of course, last week there was all this hubbub about the Confederate flag, and it just won't go away. The Civil War is still being fought here in this country in a very stupid, comical way. And there was a protest that occurred. I forget where it was. It may have been in South Carolina, where these white supremacists had shown up to really defend the Confederate flag, which, you know, take it for what it's worth. And these middle-aged fat white guys that are standing out in the heat, wearing their black shirts with their swastikas and their Confederate flags and their black paramilitary pants and their boots. And they're out there screaming their hatred and all of this other stuff. And there's a picture that showed up, and I think it's legit. One of the guys, one of the protesters, one of the Klansmen, if you will, one of the white supremacist guys, he began to succumb to heat stroke. And a man came to his assistance and picked him up and carried him to a shady spot and gave him, presumably, was some water. Should have been some vodka, maybe, but I don't know. It was some water. Carried him, looked after him. That man that picked him up was a black police officer, a highway patrolman, I believe. That's a definition of a man who's done his job to protect and to serve. He didn't have to agree with the fact that there was a guy there that hated him because of the color of his skin. It was the fact that he was a human being and he was suffering from heat stroke, and he did the right thing, which was to get him out of the heat and give him some water. You know, he had that right to bitch, whine, and moan. Sure, everybody's got that right. It's the freedom of speech. You have the freedom to assemble. You have the freedom to stand out. Hate speech can be yours. If you really want to go that route, it's protected speech. Go for it. Hate something. Be crazy. I don't know. Find something that's worth hating and protest it. It's protected. but you're going to have to put up with the consequences of it. And here's this guy who's talking about how he hates black people and how he thinks that the Confederate flag is not about hate, by God, but you can't be black. And he starts to suffer from the effects of heat stroke, and a black police officer, in essence, saves his life. I think that speaks volumes. You know, if the role was reversed, if it was if there was a similar organization that was made up of African Americans that hated so many white people, and there was a white cop, and he comes to the rescue of a black militant hate speaking person, would he do the same? I don't know. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? It makes you think. That somehow, some way, that there might be some good coming out of the human condition. I don't know. It's a hate thing. And maybe, you know, hate is hate. But at the same time, there is this thing called a little bit of compassion. Just a little bit. It goes a long, long way.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Oh, my goodness. If we've got something special for you kids here this time around. This is part one of a two-part piece here, if you will. With our great new friend, Mr. Willie Too Big Hall.
He said, what are you going to do? Wear these, sing those songs, wear those little fakakta suits? And then he told him, he said, who do you think you are, the Beatles? So that's what the guys at my school told me one day. Who do you think you are, the Beatles?
Yeah. When we got started again, which was 1968, by the way, I joined the group in May of 68. The original group died December 10th, 1967. Uh-huh. And so they immediately reformed the group, and they started doing the old stuff, Soul Finger, right. Knucklehead, you know, the normal little stuff that they had started with. So we didn't get into the black rock stuff until the latter part of 68.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. You can subscribe to the show through iTunes, Player.fm, TuneIn, and Stitcher. You can also listen online and download past episodes at radio-memphis.com.
One of the first episodes that I did, one of the early episodes of this show, was called That's Amazeballs. And I bring this up because I thought, you know, mistakenly, I thought that maybe that show had an impact a little bit on the use of the word amazing. I thought it would. I thought maybe it would slow people down on the use of that. Silly me. I'm trying to be idealistic and all trying to help out wherever I can, you know, with a lot of people that have been listening to this show. And and it just, maybe it's me, but I think it's getting worse. God, people, quit using the word amazing for every fucking thing you see, hear, and do. Oh my God, that was amazing! Look, it's real simple, people. If everything is amazing, then nothing is. Amazing should be... The Grand Canyon is amazing. That's an amazing sight. It's billions of years of erosion. What water created onto the ground over billions of years of... Or millions of years of... who knows? It's nature at its finest, or an act of God, however you want to go. That's amazing. We landed a man on the moon 50 years ago, but we landed a man on the moon. That's amazing. A bowl of pasta from Olive Garden, if you say the word amazing, you should have your fork shoved down your throat. Okay, that's a bit violent, I know. It's probably a bit much, but still, stop it. Just, you know, just a little heads up on that, all right? Just to back off of the word. I'm not going to go off on it anymore. Just, you know, that's just, I'm going to say it. I hate that word. I'm just, you know, it's amazing. Oh, my God, it was so amazing. No, it wasn't. Shut up. Nothing amazing about it. Nothing happened. A cure for cancer? That would be amazing. The fact that a six-year-old is playing Rush records or being able to play a Rush song on a guitar, that's not so amazing. A lot of kids that are doing it. Write something original, maybe. But, you know, hey, knock off the amazing, would you? That's just, you know, that's just me being my pet peeve. I don't know, or use it all you want to. Just don't use it around me, please. That would be great. Look, you want to drop a line to the show? You're more than welcome to. Got an email address for you. Radioland at PirateRadioStudios.com. Drop us a line. Tell us hello and see what you think. If there's something you want to hear on the program, we can do that. If I get enough emails, perhaps an email segment in the program. I don't know. I'm just speaking out of my ass at that point. Radioland@PirateRadioStudios.com. Drop us a line. Say hello to us and take it there for what it's worth. You can find us in several places. God, there's a whole list of them. We're hosted by Podbean, podbean.com. And all the episodes can be found in iTunes, podbean.com, and on my blog at rickcheddar.blogspot.com. That's all there as well. You can subscribe to the program through the Google Play Store, through iTunes. If you're not into all of that, there's several other places as well, like Pocket Cast is one of the new ones that picked us up. And we're in several lists, including Comedy Champs and all these other places. And there's a Twitter. Oh, yes, the show has a Twitter page. Still trying to get the hang of it, trying to get people to help me with it, but that's the way it goes. We're all busy. That's all there is to it. Look for Radioland at Radioland. That's the podcast, or the Twitter. Yeah, follow it. Give it a follow. Goes from there, you know. Have some fun with it. Tell everybody you know about it. Share it. Appreciate it if you did. Say hello to us if you'd like. Radioland at PirateRadioStudios.com. You heard what's coming up next time. That's it for this time. Take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. Never before have I ever meant that, but now's a good time to do that. If you haven't done it yet, maybe it's time to start practicing it. And we'll see you next time. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.
Proceeding was produced by Pirate Radio Studios, Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. For more audio on demand, go to radio-memphis.com.